Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
Now it's time for the takeover.
Buckle up for Kobe. Kobe Bryant just sucked the gravity out of the target center.
Not the game. We talking about practice, man.
That's it.
There is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. If you ain't first, you're last.
And there you have it, folks. It is episode 152, and I don't know if you saw the intro of the Dodgers winning the World Series in 2020. I got to update that, baby, because the Dodgers won it in 2024. Let's go. Shout out to all my baseball fans. If you're Yankees fans, I'm sorry. I don't feel bad, but I'm sorry. And then I got to shout out my man, Sean DeVille, that makes it happen behind the camera. It is episode 152, my man. It's been a couple weeks, but how you been?
I've been good. Good to see the Broncos in the college football playoff poll on Tuesday. That was a poll I cared about on Tuesday.
I completely agree. Yeah, enough with all the election stuff, dude. That's what I wanted to see as well. Yep. Number 12, super exciting stuff. And you know, it's not about us, though.
Nope, never is.
Sean, never is. It never is. We actually have a very special guest today, and he's actually a wide receiver on the Boise State football team. Formerly number 7, but now number 3, Latrell Caples.
Yep. Nice to be here. Happy to be here, man.
Welcome to the takeover. And from Lancaster, Texas, Lancaster High School, 3-star prospect coming out of high school. And so you graduated in that spring of 2020, if I did my research right. And so you committed to Boise State, though, in October of 2019. And so rewind a little bit. It looks like you made some official visits. Mm-hmm. So it looks like you visited Mizzou and Boise officially, right?
Yep.
And then an unofficial visit to, I think it was Iowa State and Colorado?
And Kansas. Well, I think that was a junior day, so no.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Real quick, though, break this down for me and people that don't know. What's the difference between an unofficial visit and an official visit?
To put it simply, an unofficial visit is something you pay for, like, to get there. And when you get there, the coach that, you know, you told you was going on an unofficial, they give you a tour and all that. And official visit, they pay for everything, like your parents' flights, your flight, whoever you want to bring, tickets, food. Like, you won't pay for nothing unless you just go out on your own. So that's the biggest difference. And, yeah, you kind of meet way more people on official visit, too. Like, you have a host. You also have a host with one of the players. On an unofficial, you're not doing none of that. Official, you'll have a host. They'll take you around. And, yeah, that's pretty much the biggest difference.
Okay, because it kind of sounds like, big picture, it sounds like an official visit is like a hard sell. Mm-hmm. And then, like, an unofficial is kind of like a soft sell. It's like, I mean, we're interested, but, like, you know.
Yeah. If you go on an unofficial and they don't want you on official, then you might as well get that school out of your radar.
Okay.
Because they probably really don't want you.
Okay. And is that what you kind of learned compared to the unofficial and the official?
Yeah, that's kind of what I learned. Because when I was first going through it, I'm not thinking like that. But, like, now, right. I feel like I know the whole game. Like, if I have a son, I'm going to make sure he knows the whole game. So, I mean, that's pretty much simple.
Okay, and so all that was through 2019, so you weren't really affected by the COVID. But I wanted to ask this. So you balled out your senior year. You're also a track star, is what I heard.
Not a star, but
okay. I was trying to gas you up
a
little bit.
Yeah, I was all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then I'm sure that kind of helped in, you know, being in the springtime, helping with football. But then back to the official visit. So you went to Mizzou. That's an SEC school. Mm-hmm. And then you went to Boise State, but you went to Boise State, then Mizzou on the visits?
Yeah, Boise State, then Mizzou.
Boise State, then Mizzou. So what separated Boise State, a Mountain West school, from an SEC school like Missouri?
I kind of just felt more love when I was here. Like, it was the people, my host at the time was Darren Usher, and he was, like, so energetic. And I just messed with that a lot, so just being around him and meeting everybody. And then I had an old high school teammate. Well, we didn't play on the same varsity team, but we went to the same school. I was a freshman. He was a senior. CC Thomas, Cartrell Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we went to the same high school. So
oh, cool.
He was my host, and he kind of gave me the rundown on here, and I was messing with it. And it's kind of ducked off. It's like I'm way away from home. Like, I kind of liked how it was just quiet, and it's more way more safe here, so it's cool.
Okay, and so when you were on your visit at Missouri, you know, after seeing Boise State, were you kind of like, oh, like, this could work at Missouri, or were you just seeing everything, you're like, you know what, like, you know, Boise State's just still the one? Because you took 2 weeks to make your official commitment. Mm-hmm. What was, like, the selling point after both those visits?
Well, when I went to Mizzou, I actually really liked it. Like, I liked the whole vibe, the team, the everything about it. But what was crazy was when I went to – I was actually finna commit there. When I went to commit, the coaching staff got fired. Like, they were getting fired. They knew they were getting fired in the middle of the season. So the position coach never hit me back. So that's really what it was. And then I was just like, those were my top two. I didn't think I needed to go on any more visits. I thought about going on an official to Illinois and Wazoo, but I was like, nah.
That's a lot.
And then they weren't like really good schools in their conference. Mizzou wasn't at the time either, but it was an SEC school, so it was different. So just being able to see Boise and see how good they are, that's really why I came here. Like, I like winning above anything else. Like, I love my stats, but they win the most. They had the most winning team. So that's really why I picked here. And obviously, Mizzou didn't take me.
Okay. So, yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So so you commit officially October 17th, but then COVID hits.
Mm-hmm.
But you knew you were going to Boise State, right? So I'm kind of curious here, and that second half of your high school year, like, did you get a senior prom? I'm curious.
Nothing. I didn't get none of that. I'm still sick to this day. No senior events, no prom.
Man.
We had like 3 track meets. Like, we didn't even finish our track season. So we was getting ready to have our first home track meet where we run at our stuff. We had that track meet, and then it was COVID, and we was done for the rest of the year.
I'm sick for you.
I'm sick. I was so mad. Like, I was ready to step at prom. And what's crazy was we were still, me and who I was with at the time was still trying to, like, we still had hope. We was trying to get what we were going to wear, our colors and stuff. And my mom was like, well, I'm not spending all that. You don't even know if you having a prom. So then we didn't have a prom. So it sucked. But it is what it is.
Were you just crossing your fingers, or were you, like, begging the principal? Like, did you guys try and get, like, signatures, anything, any hope there?
We were asking, like, if we were going to have one, but they didn't have answers because that was early COVID. So it was, like, it wasn't no – and nobody knows what COVID is, how we stop it. Like,
true.
Like, it was just – it was a mess. So we was just out of school. They officially canceled all that stuff. I feel like it was, like, 2 weeks after we had been out of school. Like, after those 2 weeks, it was, like – yeah, we're y'all not having none of that. And then it was just get ready for college ball at that time. That's when I just started working out every morning. Me and Cam Camper would just be at the house all day playing 2K, like, just enjoying life if you was a teenager without school. So it was cool.
So, yeah, you've known Camp since?
Since we was, like, we ran track together, like, when we were young, like, 6, 7. Like, we was on relays together. We basically grew up together. So I've been knowing him for a long time.
That's a crazy, like, were you part of the reason he transferred here from Indiana?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, I can't get too much in it, but yeah.
Okay, yeah, no worries. I thought that was funny because I was like, oh, weird how Boise State was the one he chose.
Yeah.
But yeah, both y'all are balling, so, like, that's pretty cool that you guys get to, you know, kind of do that again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious. I know you enrolled August then of 2020. Was a wrench thrown in anything, even though you were committed with all the COVID and stuff? Was it kind of hard to, like, make your way to Boise? What was that like throughout the midst of COVID?
Well, we had to get, what's crazy, we had to get a COVID test before we got out here. And I felt like I had COVID. So I got the test before they even called and said, oh yeah, you have to get a test before you come out here, da da da. I got the test. They called me, and literally like 10 minutes later, I got my results. I'm thinking I got COVID. I'm going to have to wait another week to go out there. I was so ready. I'm thinking I got COVID. I had all the symptoms. I get the test back. It said I was negative. So I got on the plane like 2 days later, and I was here. And it was what, we moved in. Everything was good from there.
Bless up, man.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when you went on your visit to then when, I mean, COVID's like in the middle of everything, was it just kind of, did it feel different? I'm sure it probably did. Were you just like, oh, this isn't how I remember it. Like, it's COVID. Like, or were you still like, no, this is home?
When I went back to Texas?
No, when you when you went on your visit and then came back to Boise State, do you feel like it was just different?
Oh, yeah. Well, I felt more it was different for the simple fact that I was a freshman and I didn't know what to expect, honestly. Like, coming in there, I was just like, I know we got workouts today. I know we got workouts tomorrow. I mean, it was a lot of different stuff, like wearing masks during workouts. It's like, bro, I can't breathe. Like, it's a lot of different. It was a lot of different regulations into it. And then our season got canceled when I first got here. So it was crazy. Season got canceled. We went home. We thought we weren't playing. Then we had to come back. And we started up our season like late October. So, yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So it said, 2020, you sat out your whole freshman year. Did you know you're going to redshirt as soon as you got here? What was that redshirt process like?
As soon as I got here, that wasn't really in my mind. I was just like, but once we start practicing stuff, I knew I needed time to develop. And it was guys here that was really good. It was still Khalil Shakir here. Mm. We still had CT. We still had Tay Evans. We still had Steph Cobbs, Billy. We still had a lot of older guys in there that's been developed. They're bigger than me, faster than me, stronger than me. So
you're like, okay,
I was comfortable with it because a lot of the people in my class, I don't feel like nobody played except Jonah. And he was already older than us because he went on a mission. So
true.
We was just like, we got time to develop. Like, it wasn't nothing crazy. We weren't upset about it. Then we only played 7 games. And then we found out that the COVID year for people that was in school during COVID, we get that year back. So it was like, shoot, it was just a free year for us to just get faster and stronger. And we weren't tripping.
Yeah, you're like, all right, if I get a year back, that's good news.
Yeah.
Just kind of a weird process with everything. And
yeah, but also those guys that were still there got that year back as well. So it was like,
okay. When you first met Khalil Shakir and watched him practice, mm-hmm. did you know he was going to be an NFL pick?
Yeah, for sure. I was confused because he was out there. He practiced so, like, he's so smooth. It doesn't look like he's trying a lot. And then he'll do some of the craziest thing. I'd be like, oh, yeah, he's really good.
He's nice.
But he plays so, like, smooth and kind of slow at that time. He doesn't play slow at all now in the league. But at that time, he, like, kind of played a little slow. Practiced slow. But it was effective. He was open. And once he got the ball, it was like, oh, he's not slow. So
dude.
I was like, yeah, he for sure going to go to the league. I was actually surprised he went in the 5th round.
Me too. I was like, what am I missing here?
Cowboys took a guy. I was like, whoa, I don't think he's better than Khalil Shakir. But
Bill's got a steal.
Yeah, a steal.
Steal. And he's like, what, 6 feet tall? And he plays like he's like 6'5", I feel like.
Yeah, he's for sure 6 feet. And he can do everything. He's a go-go gadget player.
That catch against BYU?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
insane. That
was I was there in the – I think I was on that end zone. And we had some kids yelling at us because they were so pissed about that catch. And I was like, watch the scoreboard. Watch it. Look it back. And they're like, your quarterback sucks. And I was like, well, he just threw a touchdown on you.
Yeah, dude. That was when they were number 10, right?
Yeah, they were
undefeated. 10.
Huge upset. That was crazy. That was a crazy game. Mm-hmm. But that's when I think of Khalil Shakir, that's like just effortless catches. They're like.
Yeah. Those one hands he had with Nevada and UTEP, he had 2. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. We was actually just watching his highlights the other day.
Really?
Yeah. Because we had an argument. Chris had an argument that Zay Flowers was better than Shaq in college. And I was like, if we put tape to tape, like 4 years of like consistent tape, I think Shaq was college was better. But Zay Flowers had 1 year where he was going insane, though.
He did. That was like Boston College, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember him because he was kind of like, they play the same, but Zay's like a little faster. But I feel like Shaq's like, he's a better jump ball like guy. Yeah.
And Zay has, like, he makes it look way more crazier once he gets the ball and juke people. Shaq, he gonna juke you and he gone. Like, you don't even know you got juked. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a decent argument. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like everyone was probably all Shaq? Like, no, Shaq's better. Are you kidding me?
I think it was pretty even. And it was just us receivers. But we like to play a lot. So if somebody makes an argument against somebody else, like, everybody will ride with one person to make the other person mad. Like, we'll just troll each other all day. It's just funny.
Okay, so it's one of those bits.
Yeah, it's just a friendly, funny banter. Yeah. Nothing crazy, yeah.
Okay, so continuing with, like, your journey here at Boise State. So then 2021, your redshirt freshman season, then you played six games. Mm-hmm. How did it feel to finally get on the field and kind of play in live action collegiate football?
It was low key. I was nervous. I was real nervous because it was like I ain't played football since 2019, and even still, I wasn't playing nobody. I was like, my first catch game was
UTEP. At home?
No, I think my first snaps was against UTEP. Okay. UTEP, it was like, I'm in here fourth quarter, game over. I'm probably finna just run, block some people. Oklahoma State, I got my first catch, though, and that was the year they was like number five in the country. So I got my first catch, and it was for a first down, but I ain't do nothing else for the rest of the game. But I was like, got my first catch.
And Let's go. Okay. Check that off.
Room to grow, yeah, so it was cool.
Was that in Stillwater, that game?
No, it was here.
It was the one here?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It was the one where...
Heartbreaking, dude.
It was the last second.
That fumble.
Yep.
I think, man.
Yeah, that's the one I was just going to talk about. It was the fumble where Rodley Wimpy picked it up and scored.
And they didn't.
Yeah.
The refs.
They blew the whistle when he was at the 15-yard line. Yeah.
Didn't they call targeting on JL, too?
Not that game, no. That's the game he dunked.
I was say, he freaking. That's his career highlight, dude. At least in college, dude. That was the one where that's that crazy hit.
JL made some crazy hits. This one in practice. Oh my goodness.
In practice?
Yeah.
Talk to me.
It was like a chip flat by one of our tight ends. And he gets out, he chips, he gets to the flat, he doesn't see JL head like this. As soon as he turn around, boom, his guardian cap was on top of his head like this. It was the funniest. Like, it was one of those ones where I screen recorded myself so I could just watch it on my phone. Like it was a highlight of my own. It was crazy though.
Yeah, he was something else. And he's getting snaps in Denver, which is cool.
Mm-hmm. He's special teams. Crushing it on special teams.
Yeah. So your freshman year under your belt. I'm sure that kind of felt good. You know, I know you mentioned you were nervous. And so then 2022, your sophomore year, you play all 14 games. You lead Boise State in receptions, receiving yards, and tied for first in touchdowns. Having a year like that, in like your second year playing, how'd that feel?
It was great. It kind of felt like I've arrived. Like, I knew I could have did more, but then again, I look back at it and I'm like, all the situations we had to go through that season, our coach getting fired, our starting QB leaving it four games into the season, we started 2-2 with a loss to UTEP. It was like, ooh.
Oh, man.
I was like, this might be a rough year. But then got Cutter, we turned the whole thing around, and with me having the stats that I had, and we still had George Ashton and Taylen Green in the backfield, I was like, okay, I've had a pretty good year for a guy that just got in here. So I was just grateful and blessed that I was out there being able to make an impact and get Boise back to that winning stature. Because I think we went like 10-4 that year. If you count when Cutter got there, where were we, like 11-11? What? Take those two games out. I forgot the record, but we're like 8-2, 8-3. We lost to BYU in the championship, so
yeah,
it was cool.
And you still had Cobbs and Bowens. Like, yeah. You still had a pretty good squad that mm-hmm.
you had a huge
leap.
I think we still had OJ, the left tackle.
Oh
yeah, we still had JL. We had a lot of guys. The team was good that year, and it was fun to be productive and a leader and receiver on a good team. So
yeah.
It was like, I was real grateful.
You're like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah, I was like, next year is going to be crazy. But
and then 2023, yeah. Unfortunately, with the Achilles, summer workout
mm-hmm.
play,
mm-hmm.
back right, end zone. When you felt that pop, what was going through your head?
First thing was I thought somebody threw a water bottle at my shoe. That was crazy. Because it was like between sets. I'm the first one, so the guys behind me can get water while I'm about to get ready for this rep, and we're going like waterfall down the line. So the guys behind me getting water. I'm thinking somebody accidentally dropped a water bottle on my foot. I'm looking back at everybody, and everybody just looking at me. I'm like, what's going on? Like, then I look at my foot. I'm like, well, I can't really feel my foot. And then, like, I was thinking about we had a guy that went here that ruptured his Achilles, Taquan Tyler. Mm. He ruptured his, and he told me, like, I just remembered how he told me it happened and what hurt. And I was like, that's what I did. And then I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, man, I can't walk. They bring the truck over here. They take me inside. I got to limp all the way to one of the rooms in there. I flip a table. I'm so mad because I know what happened. Like, I know this is, like, a lot of months to – I didn't know exactly at the time how many, but I know it was like, I can't do summer workouts. I for sure can't do fall camp. And I go inside, and I'm just crying, bawling my eyes out. I asked our trainer at the time, Brandon, how long will it take? He said, like, he was like, 5 months. I was like, yeah, that's a season. Then Hamden came in there, Miller came in there, just trying to cheer me up. Rod came in there. We was crying together, just trying to keep my head up. It was just sad, bro. It was just, it was bad. It was, at that time, it was, like, crazy for me. It was, I was just so upset, sad, depressed, everything, because it's like I've been doing this sport my whole life. Like, I never got it really taken away from me like that. And then at this stage where I'm, like, getting ready to go to a bigger year, that's what made it hurt even more. So, I mean, it was cool. I mean, it wasn't cool, but it was what it was. I got over it, like, took a minute, took a lot of hands-on from the people around me, but at the end of the day, I got out of it, and it, I mean, I think it didn't do nothing but make me stronger and make me a better person at the end of the day.
What was the hardest part of the rehab?
Honestly, just being consistent and wanting to do it every day.
Oh, like, man, yeah.
It's just like, and then you're doing the rehab, and it's like, okay, I'm doing the rehab. Am I even going to be able to come back and still be as good as I've been? That's that thought running in your mind the whole time, because you've seen guys rupture Achilles and come back and not be the same. So it's like,
yeah.
Am I even doing all this to be able to play football again, or am I doing this just to be able to move around again? So it's just like, I didn't know what Achilles was. It was just so much different stuff going on, and I didn't understand what I was going to be able to be once we got done with the rehab process. But it all worked out, so I was cool. But the hardest part was for sure being consistent every day, because at the end of the day, that's what I got to do every day. Like, I have to rehab. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not playing football. I'm not,
yeah.
Like, there's nothing else I'm going to do. I got to rehab every day. And it was just, dang, like, you get tired of it doing the same. It's not the same thing, but basically the same stuff every day. So
I'm just sure it was so boring.
Yeah.
Just, like, the light workouts that kind of keep it active.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard you say, like, you were thinking, like, am I going to be the same? Were you contemplating, like, just calling it?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. I was definitely contemplating calling it, like, a month. Like, that, when I tell you that first month was so bad for me, like, that's what I mean. Like, I didn't want to play football. I didn't want to go to school. I'm like, good thing it was the summer, because if it was in season, I probably got kicked out of school, because my mind was not in the right place to be in a college university at the time.
Who was the biggest mentor to you at that time?
The trainer, Garrett.
Garrett?
Yeah, he was on me every day. And he was new, so when he first got in there and they told me he was running my Achilles thing, I'm like, I don't even know this guy. Like, I don't know if he's good or not.
So you're thinking about that, too?
Yeah, like, but he was the guy on me every day. He was just telling me all different type of stuff, keep me positive. And he made the training program, the rehab program, way funner to do.
Good. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
So you finally did it.
Mm-hmm.
You get on the field against Georgia Southern, man. How did that feel?
It was so cool. I was in the locker room getting ready to cry, like, right before we got out. And I was just so thankful. I was just praying. I was just so thankful that I was able to do it again. So got out there, and it was just football at the end of the day. I mean, I did go through fall camp, and I did spring. So I was like, shoot.
So you're warmed up.
I've played football. Like, I know I can play football still. So went out there and we dominated. Like, as an offense, that was my first time being here, and we put up 50 points in the game. It was my fifth year here, and I've been here for 5 years, and we played, like, way worse teams than Georgia Southern, where we should have put up 50. But we got out there, we put up 50. We looked like a good offense. We was firing on all cylinders. I mean, Ashton did score 6 touchdowns at the
end,
too. But it was just Sire had 2. It was a fun game for me to be back on offense, and we dominated and executed like that. It was a lot of areas of growth in there. It's the first game of the season, but being able to put up 56 points in my first game back and having a decent game, I had, what, like 86 yards. That was probably at the time tied for, like, the most yards I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think that was what I ended with my last game, now that I just think about it. Frisco Bowl, I think I had, like, 86 yards that game in the bowl game. So that's crazy. I had 86 in the Georgia Southern game. So
on 5 catches, too. That's really solid.
Yeah, that's solid.
Yeah. And so I know you mentioned Ashton.
Mm-hmm.
What, 6 touchdowns? You're watching this guy run up and down the field. I mean, you've seen him for, what, the past 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's it like having a guy like Ashton Gentry, having him right next to you on offense?
It's grateful. You just know, like, at any given moment, like he's going to score. Like it's like you out there blocking. You like, okay, I got to block. I got to block forever because who knows what he's doing while I'm not looking. Because right. I can't be watching him. Sometimes I do. I ain't gonna lie. Like if my dude is if my dude not trying to go tackle him, I'm over there like just peeking in the back trying to see what he's doing, and just being able to see how much of a home run hitter he is. He can't get tackled by one person. It's just crazy to actually watch because you grow up, you want to win the Heisman, you want to be cold, you want to play in the playoff, and I have a guy on my team that could possibly win the Heisman, man. It's just so cool to me. Like it's so cool, bro. I can't even explain it because he's just a great dude. Like it's not like he's one of those cocky dudes that just walk around with his chest out. Like he's a good person, and being able to see like how hard he works and seeing it come to fruition on game day and just in his life is, I'm happy for him.
Dude, I completely agree. I mean, you're right. And it's one thing to be like really good and kind of like, you know, puffing your chest out, but it just, he deserves it, man. Yeah. Like he really does. And I guess from what I've heard, like, it seems like he's not only like a good person and a good football player, but a leader.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I know he's a running back, but does he ever kind of like, you know, talk to you about football with you being like a wide receiver and, you know, hype you up?
Oh yeah, he hypes the whole team up. Like he's in the circle before every game. Like he makes sure that when we go out there, we're going out there to kill. And when he's in the middle of the circle, I'm all eyes, all ears, because that's a guy I want to lock in, focus to. Because the way he plays is like I need whatever he got, whatever get him going, I need that. So, man, he's a great leader, great captain, great person, bro.
Is there one memory that sticks out to you about Ashton? Like that you've seen him like at practice or like in a workout where you're like, okay, this guy's different.
His 600-pound squat this summer was insane to see. I'm like, and he made it look so easy. Like I don't think I've ever seen him struggle with a weight, like no matter what weight was on the bar. That's what's crazy. And then it was one practice, he hurdled two dudes at one time. He didn't stick the landing, but like he hurdled them. And then it was like another dude. I screen recorded it. I can show you after this, but
please, two
dudes, and he like low key almost landed it. And I'm on the sideline. I'm like, no way, I just seen that. And yeah, that's probably the one highlight. And then at practice, he sometimes like when he was freshman, we used to see him just boom out the gate. Like we like, ooh, ain't he freshman like George, but we like George better than him. George Jelani was cold. We was like George is better than him. Now
right,
we like oof. That boy Ashton is definitely crazy, yeah.
Okay, that two at once. And there was another thing that NFL guy, did you see Saquon Barkley's reverse hurdle?
Yeah, that I don't know how people do. I don't know how he did that.
I never thought that was possible.
I don't know why would you pull that out in a football? You have no fear of that defense for you to do that. Like, you don't care if you get popped or nothing.
That's just so disrespectful.
Yeah, that's
coming off a spin move, just goes, nah.
Yeah, let's just – I don't know what he was thinking. Like if I ever met him, I'm like, what are you thinking when you did that? Somebody probably asked him that in the interview. I got to see it.
I know, yeah, because it's probably at that point, it just seemed like he was like, let's just try it. Mm-hmm. Like, sure.
Yeah. Saquon did some crazy stuff in college, too. I think the top three backs college all time, Ashton, Jeentie, Barry Sanders, Saquon Barkley.
I love that list.
Yeah, that's a good list.
McCaffrey, too, maybe?
McCaffrey.
Derrick Henry?
Yeah. We need to get Ashton on kick return. Then he for sure over Saquon, but that's my three.
Wasn't that in the talks, getting him at kick return, or what happened there?
I mean, he works back there with us. You know, I feel like this is my scenario. If I was a coach, I feel like if he's having like a crazy game and we're up like two touchdowns, he got two touchdowns rushing already, Heisman game, big game, let's put him on kick return. You know, situationally, let him see if we can six it, and then
yeah, that's stats. Like,
okay, yeah, he's insane. Kick return, yeah. Touchdown. Yeah.
And I do want to stress this too. So I guess as the season's gone on, especially, I did want to talk about the game you just had with San Diego State. Dude, three touchdowns, 90 yards, six catches. Bro, I mean, you could probably say that was your best game of your career. That was
the best game of my career, for
sure. How did you feel to get a hat trick, dude?
It was great because it was also easy. It was like all of them was – most – the second and third one was because they were so worried about Ashton, especially the second one. Like, I've never had a touchdown in my life that wide open. So – but it was a grateful moment just to see how all my hard work, all this rehab stuff, everything to just come to fruition with those three tugs in front on the blue made it even crazier seeing everybody cheer for you instead of just seeing sad faces when you finally score.
Yeah.
But it was fun. Three touchdowns in a game. I haven't did that since high school. It was 5 years ago. So I was just grateful and blessed and happy that all my teammates was happy for me, my coaches. And more importantly, we got the dub. So I was happy for it all.
And I think, how do you feel about this last year with all the years that you've had at Boise State with just how this offense feels, your wide receiving core, your O-line, quarterback, running back, and even Dirk Cutter? Do you feel like this is just like the best that you've ever had it? Or how do you feel about like the squad that we have this year?
Yeah, the most important thing, I feel like this is one of the most closest teams I've been to. I like outside of football, like in the locker room, everybody talks to everybody. Like nobody is beefing with nobody. Like we really, like everybody in the locker room really loves each other. And then this is like the most well-rounded, good squad that we have. Like we have good old linemen, we have good receivers, we have a great running back, great quarterback, defense is good. Like, but I think what's really helping us is that we play for each other for real. Like we play for our coach, we play for each other, and we just trust each other. Like I think that's the biggest difference. It's like we love each other so much, we don't want to let each other down. So we go out there every Saturday or Friday and just dominate, play physical and play fast. So I think that's the biggest difference with this team from all the other teams to me.
And you mentioned you play for the coach first. I find that very interesting. And you've been around Spencer for 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. right? Did you, before he got hired, when you ever like spoke to him, did you know he was going to be a head coach eventually? What was your vibe that you got from Spencer Danielson?
I don't know if I thought he'd be a head coach eventually, just because like me and Coach D, we wouldn't have like long conversations. Like it'd be, "What's up, Trill? How you doing?" Because like, he'll really check on me, like see if I'm good, see if I'm okay. But he was a defensive coordinator, and I was an offensive guy that was just a receiver. So it was like,
okay.
he didn't really talk to me that much. But it wasn't like because he didn't want to. It was just because we didn't see each other that much really often. But when he did see me, it was just checking up on me, seeing if I was good, asking about the family. Like, I always knew he was a great person. So, like, having a great person as a head coach first is great because when he's out there telling you what to do, you know it's coming because he really wants what's best for you. It's like, you know, he's a great person.
It makes you just buy in even easier, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's way more easier because it's like, you know, he's not going to let you down either, and you don't want to do the same to him. So that's pretty much.
Question, Latrell Caples. So you were number 7, mm-hmm. and now recently you switched to number 3. I'm curious, was there any motive behind switching the number to number 3?
Simply, Malachi asked me first, and then I would have just gave it to him, but he offered me 3 pair of shoes, and I was like, "Here, you got a number." I was like,
"Ain't nothing to it."
Yeah, I was like, "It's a number, bro." Like, I didn't care that much. A lot of people that I was close to, they weren't mad about it. They was just like, "I like 7. I like 7." I'm like, "It's just a number, bro." Like, So I wasn't really tripping. My family did. I was just only thinking about how my family has all this number 7 stuff. And it's just like, well.
Now we got to buy more merch.
Yeah. I'm like, well, you know, 5 years here, least you could do is, you know, throw some money to Boise State. Yeah. It's all right. But, yeah, that was probably the only thing. It wasn't nothing crazy to me. I would have gave it to him just simply because he asked. But he is the highest recruit we've ever pulled. So I'm like, yeah, let's give him the number 7, let him feel at home. It wasn't nothing crazy to it for me. Then it's like kind of like new beginnings, you know, mm-hmm. recovering from an injury. It's like, let's change this number, give people a new look. Changed my helmet too. I went F7 instead of Speed Flex. So
okay.
It was a little different.
Little switch up.
Yeah, just trying to change things up. But it wasn't nothing crazy.
If I can be honest with you, I think you rock number 3 way harder.
Thank you. I think the same. I think it's more of a receiver number too.
Yeah. Because
with us, so if I would have kept 7, someone on defense couldn't have had it because I'm a punt returner. And it's like 7 is a defensive number in my mind. Like, I think somebody on defense should rock 7, which is – and Marion wanted it, and they gave it to him, too, on defense because quarterback's not going to be on no special team. So he's good to have it on defense. So I think it all worked out. I think I look better in 3. I think Malachi and Marion look great in 7. And, you know, we're letting it rock this year.
For sure.
And it matches your touchdowns from the other day.
True. Yeah, that helped. I pointed at my shirt.
It was
cool.
Yeah, that's what my sister said. I was like, hey, Latrell Kipple's going to be on the podcast. She's like, oh, my gosh, tell him his celebration was so hard.
A lot of people was telling me that. I was like, I'm pretty sure people have done that before. But, like, when I was doing it, I wasn't thinking about people that. I was like, sure, this might be a little different here, just pointing my jersey number.
Yeah,
it was cool.
Hat trick, I'm wearing number 3, my 3rd touchdown.
Yeah, I was like, I never thought I'd get 3 touchdowns in a game, but it was cool.
Yeah, how did it feel catching that 3rd one? Were you just kind of like, holy smokes?
Like, I was like, wow, like 3 touchdowns? I was like, shoot, I mean, maybe I'm good at football a little bit, you know? I was just a little happy to touch the end zone the 3rd time. When I was running wide open, I'm like the last person in the read. So I'm like, let me run away from this dude for as long as I can. Maybe somebody get the ball. Mad Dog went through all his progressions, and I was wide open. I was like, shoot, come on, give it to me.
Okay.
And it was a touchdown.
Let's keep eating.
It was his 4th one and my 3rd one. He's number 4, I'm number 3, so it was cool.
Would you look at that?
Yeah. He should have did. He should have did like that.
Boom!
Yeah, it was cool.
And so, Maddox Madsen, man.
Mm-hmm.
He was facing some slander earlier, but, dude, now he has 17 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Like, could you be more proud of the guy?
Yeah, I'm so proud of him, but I'm not surprised at all. Like,
yeah.
I seen all the scrutiny, all that, and you know, I can't comment on it, but I choose not to.
Of course,
it's not relevant. But I knew he could do this. The biggest thing with me for Maddox, he takes care of the ball. That's like, as a quarterback, that's the number one thing you should want. Like, it doesn't matter.
That's all you can ask for.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what he can do, like off platform. If his eyes is closed, like if he...
Yeah,
like,
sidearm.
Like, yeah, like he takes care of the football and he runs the offense at a high level. He knows how to operate the offense, and that's all we can ask for. He all he's doing is getting better every week. Humble guy, like all he wants to do is get better and win for the season.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Can't really ask for much more.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah, doesn't take any sacks, doesn't turn it over. It's like, what else? I mean, what else do you want here?
Come on, he's low-key a dual threat. Like,
I was going to say, he's got wheels.
Yeah, he's fast.
Yeah, I know. I see him just go,
He hit 22. 22 miles per hour.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
I did not see that.
He almost pulled his hemi, but.
Was it the UNLV run?
I think so, yeah.
Dude, what was that, like 60 yards?
Yeah, he could have scored.
Ashton was like, damn, okay, I got to start blocking. Yeah. You can kind of tell. He's like, okay, we're going.
Man, we was on him because he should have scored. But
I know, because, yeah, I think he kind of did like a little weave or something like that. And I was like,
it was like him, Ashton, and another dude. He could have let Ashton get that block and ran that way.
Hit the corner.
Yeah. And then I was behind him. I think it was Prince. If I seen him hit that way, I would have came and caught him. We would have escorted him into the end zone. We was on him about that, but he's good. Dual threat quarterback.
From my eyes, I'm curious. At Allegiant Stadium, is that turf just feel different? It looks different.
Yeah. It makes you feel like you a little more bouncy, for sure. It's like, it feels way different. And just being inside feels different, because that was my first time ever playing inside. Like, we went to the LA Bowl, but I didn't play. But playing inside, it just feels so different. But, like, once you get to playing football, it's football at the end of the day. So, you know, really think about that after you do the walk on the field at the beginning. It's just like, this turf is different, but got to get used to it.
Because, yeah, just at least, like, at first glance, I'm like, dude, that looks just so nice to walk on or, like, play on. But
it's definitely way more soft.
Okay. Favorite uniform combo at Boise State that you've ever worn or seen?
Favorite uniform combo, all black would be my number one for sure. Like, all black is just...
Can't go wrong.
I feel like I just like all black in general, like, if I'm just wearing it. But all black unis is insane. Then I'm going to have to go... Excuse me. I have to go blue. So we wore it at Frisco Bowl 2022.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they might have wore it last year against... San Jose. I think it was San Jose, but
okay.
I really like that one.
I think you're
too.
Right.
And then my 3rd one, underrated. A lot of people don't like it. All orange. I'm gonna say it. I just like all orange. I feel like they don't like it because our accessories, like in person, you could tell like it's a different orange. But like on TV, you can't tell at all. So I think it looks really good on TV, especially with the chrome decal. It's my favorite one, my top three.
Any love for anything white?
I like white, but it gets dirty.
True.
Yeah. All white is cool. White on blue. It's just, I feel like it's just too white, white on orange. Like, it's just, it's not too much. Because when we do wear white, it's away. So it's like white on orange, white on blue. White, it's just,
yeah,
just white on something instead of like, when we wear like blue and white, I love our white helmets too. Like, our white helmets are cool.
Especially the script blue. Oh, yeah.
I like the helmets white, but our combos we wear white, it's not that crazy to me. Not as good as my top three.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good three.
Yeah.
And I feel like the uniforms here, they just don't miss.
Yeah, they don't. They're great. So many combos we could do. I've been trying to vouch for a couple, like, with my teammates. I haven't told Dale and them yet. Yeah, I'm not. I know we have it all laid out already, so it's like,
really?
It's no point of even trying that. But I think I have a couple in my head that I want to try. Or just, I want to see somebody wear it and see if it looks good.
Just be like, this could work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see, I think back in the day, like 2012, we had gray jerseys?
Yeah. It's a lot of people that's not fans of those.
I love those. I think those are sweet.
I got to see them like on somebody now. Last person I seen them on, there's a picture in our little facility of our tight ends coach, Coach Potter, and he was an old lineman here. So it was like, that doesn't look good. Yeah. And I think it was like gray, blue helmet. I was like, I don't really like that. And then we have a mannequin in there too. I don't know. We got to see somebody swagging out. Maybe they refurbish it. Like,
yeah.
It'll probably look good. I'm not a big fan of the gray.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I think they need to get like a gray, maybe like a matte gray helmet with, hey, I think that could be kind of cool.
I got to see your vision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We're cooking.
The white Oreo ones are probably my favorite. I always rock those in NCAA.
The white orange helmets?
No, white Oreo.
White Oreo.
So the black helmet, white jersey, black pants.
Oh,
yeah.
That's kind of sweet. Yeah, a little white and black action.
I think that's where we were in that BYU game we were just talking about. We beat them when we were number 10.
Good memory.
10. Yeah. I remember it because I didn't like it. I think when you go black, white, black, like our black pants are solid black, our helmets are solid black. But like we have blue and orange stripes on our jersey. So yeah, it's like,
that's fair.
Our numbers are blue. So it's like,
a lot going on.
Yeah, I don't really like these like ones. The blue and orange is just popping out.
I see what you mean. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like it's just popping out. Like if our numbers, if we had like a, if maybe if the stripes just weren't there, I would like that. But
yeah, that would look a little bit better. Yeah.
It's a dirty photo of T-Crow too.
Tubes.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, and then maybe like chrome face mask? I don't know. Maybe I'm asking for a lot there.
He like chrome.
Yeah, I do. Why I think
is everything chrome?
Yeah. You know what helmets I missed was the black helmet with the orange Bronco, the Halloween helmets. Sick uniform combo.
I think I remember those. I think I've seen those before, yeah.
It's like the chrome orange. Those were sick, man.
I thought we were going to go orange this last game, but I guess it was since the day after Halloween. I was like, because we usually go orange for Halloween.
But yeah, that's what I thought too. I like the black and black.
I really like that. You know, yeah. I did the uniform reveal. I actually had to do two because we didn't know if we was gonna wear what we wore or flip that. So we wear blue jersey, so it would have been blue, black, blue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
gotcha. That's the Frisco Bowl.
Yeah, the Frisco Bowl one. Yeah, that's what we were thinking. I had to do both uniform reveals, but we end up going with the one we wore, and that's the one I would have picked. I think Tube actually text Lou and was like, yeah, this is the one we want. And
bet.
We wore it. Captain, you got that type of motion?
True. That is very true.
Yeah.
Pre-game rituals, are you big with that? Do you have any, like, you know, secret sauce you like to do before the games?
I'm a guy that's like, I've been playing football for so long. So, and we literally practice every day. I'm like, it's nothing extra I have to do. It's like a job, job that I really enjoy. So it's like, I don't have to do nothing extra to go play football. Like, probably most I do, I study in the morning, like study what we got to do, get my foot massager out, make sure my feet feel good, do my same pre-practice warm-up in the training room. Like, I'm not a crazy guy on pre-game rituals because it's like, I don't want to psych myself up. And when in reality, you're doing something you do every day and you've been doing it your whole life. So it's like,
okay.
don't try to overdo it just because it's a game today. Like, you want to be more, like, intent, more, like, you know, urgent But it's like, bro, I feel like I practice at a high level. I study at a high level. So at the end of the day, trust what you've been doing all week and just go out there and play fast.
Yeah, because I know that's big with some people.
Yeah, for sure.
With the superstition, like, oh, if I do this, then we'll.
Yeah, but I think I was like that in high school. And then it was like, superstition is, I don't think it's a real thing. Cause
it just kind of wore off.
Yeah, it wears off. So it's like, yeah, just go out there and play football, bro. You're good at it. You've been doing it your whole life. You practice, you train. Like, go out there and trust what you've been doing.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I remember I got told about, like, the routines and superstitions and stuff. It kind of, like, locks you in. And, like, when you start doing these things, it, like, gets you in that mindset, like, all right, it's time to play. Maybe that's just me.
It's mental.
No, yeah, I definitely understand guys that do it. Like, I don't knock nobody that do it. I definitely understand it. But it's just like, yeah, football is football, bro. Don't try to overthink it.
Yeah.
But I definitely got music that I want to hear. Like, in the morning, that's probably the most ritual thing I do. In the morning, I'm playing, like, some calm stuff, like some Hours in Silence by Drake. Something that's just, you know,
don't get too
hyped up at 6, 9 in the morning.
You don't play business.
You don't play till 9 p.m. Then when it's almost game time, I'm listening to, like, Lil Durk, ESTG, murder music.
So okay.
That's probably the most, like, ready to go kill somebody. Like,
okay.
That's the kind of mindset I flip into. So that's probably where I go with it, just the music aspect.
Yeah. Any Big X the Plug in there?
Nah, our strength coach loves Big X the Plug, though. He plays them every day. Only song I listen to is Texas Bomb.
I was going to say, you're from Texas.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you Drake guy?
Drake. Yeah. Drake in general. Like, I'm listening to Drake every day.
He's got all kinds of. Yeah.
But before the game, I'm not listening to Drake because
that's fair.
I know he's not really, like, murdered. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. 21 Savage.
Yeah. But I'm more Dirk, ESTG, T Grizzly, Future. Like, that's what I'm listening to. But Drake is an everyday player. Like, anything I'm going in that day, I'm listening to Drake. It don't matter.
You a Young Thug guy?
Yeah, I like Young Thug, too.
He's free.
Yeah, he is free.
15 years probation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy news.
That is crazy. Yeah. I thought if you got a RICO, you're done for.
I was going to say, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Shout out that attorney.
Yeah. Big bucks.
Yeah.
How they get paid to do.
He's going
to
get paid.
Did you see the video of him wiping his nose?
I saw the screenshot of him. Like, they did something. I was just like, that's the guy. Yeah. That is the guy.
He was like, what do you got to say to, I think, like, the defense attorney? He was like, good luck. And slimed
his. Oh!
That was funny. Then, like, I think it was, like, 2 days later, 15 years probation. I was like, wow. He did his job.
That's the man of the year right there.
Yeah, for sure. He's gonna take him a good trip after that one.
Latrell, one thing that you have learned in being at Boise, what's one thing that you've learned in Boise that you feel like you'll carry on with the rest of your life? Kind of a deep question, but, like, as you've grown into a collegiate adult, anything that really sticks out?
Being able to just build relationships with, like, everybody around you. Because, like, at the end of the day, like, football is going to end for everybody at some point. And a lot of the people we're around, like, only one, like, probably, like, 1% of us is going to make it to the league. So just being able to build relationships with guys that, like, probably not a star player, like, just everybody on the team, even people around the facility, because you don't know down the line what those people can do for you. Like, they can own a business that and you need help, they can help you out. Like, it's not always beneficial to you, but it's also a lot of good people around here. So just being able to build relationships is what I've learned the most. And being hurt, like, really helped me learn that. And patience, like, just being patient. Because a lot of guys, like, nowadays, they want everything now. Like, they get on social media.
True.
Instant gratification.
Quick dopamine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I was like that my freshman year, too. Like, I see guys from my area playing early. I'm like, dang, I should have went there. I should have went here. I don't want to be here. I'm not playing. Da-da-da-da. But the biggest thing I learned was patience through that injury. It's like, just wait your turn. God got a plan for all of us. So that's really what I learned the most. Building relationships and just having patience.
Amen.
Yeah.
And then what do you want to do after college? I know the NFL's got to be the goal, I'm sure. But, you know, like, eventually, like, you know, what's your dream other than football?
I kind of want to be a pilot. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I want to get into that. I don't know too much about it, but I know, like, if I – if I could go to school and learn how to be a pilot, lock in on being a pilot, I would be a pilot. Like, I would want to be a pilot for sure.
That's sweet. Okay. Yeah. Have you always just had a passion for planes or anything there?
No, I just probably traveling. Like, you just you're seeing a lot of stuff. When you fly in a plane, you can see so much. And I feel like it's like a good skill. A lot of people would like need to rely on you. Like, it's like, like I got a big job to do today. Like, I don't know. It's just something I would be interested in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I have a buddy. He just got out of pilot school. Mm-hmm. So he just did, like, his first flight. And he's making pretty decent money, and he loves it. And he's, I don't know. And we're like, oh, he's the guy if we ever need to go somewhere. Yeah, so
it's like a job, like, you can't really – it's a job I feel like I would enjoy, too. It's not like a job. It's like, oh, I got to go do this. Like,
yeah.
So I feel like it's a pretty good career path.
Yeah. And there's always going to be pilots, you know.
Yeah.
Recession proof.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say it's easy. Like, I know it's going to be like, once I do it, I got to really like lock in and be focused. But I think I know I could, like, if I really put my mind to it.
Okay. Yeah. What would be like an ideal plane you'd want to fly?
I don't even know too much about planes.
Okay.
I just know I want to learn. That's something okay. I want to learn about. Like, just being able to
take off
learn,
and land.
Yeah. Learn about planes, learn about being a pilot, like stuff like that.
I'm pretty sure you can do something called the Discovery Flight and to an what is it called? I think like an airport. I'm sure you could do it here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's free or not, but a pilot will take you up and they'll like show you, those like kind of like explain to you what it's like to be a pilot.
Oh.
I've heard about it. It's pretty cool.
Okay, I'm going to talk to you about that.
Yeah, okay, that's pretty sweet.
You say you don't know if it's free.
I saw it on TikTok. Saw it on TikTok, so I don't, that's as far as my knowledge goes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll look more into it.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've reached the end here. It's already been an hour.
Oh, for real?
For real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good convo.
Great people, great conversation. Yeah, for sure. You kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time just flew.
Building relationships.
Exactly.
So, one thing I like to have the players do, before we wrap up, anything you want to tell Bronco Nation, you can tell them into this camera right here, whether that's this weekend for Nevada, throughout the whole season, if there's just one message you want to give to Bronco Nation, what would that be?
I would say thank you for all your support to the Broncos. We are really grateful for it. I mean, we try to get it out in the community as much as possible, but we just really thank you for the support. And come out Saturday this weekend, all black, to beat the Wolfpack. Let's go, Bronco Nation.
All black to beat the Wolfpack. Well, there you have it. Sean, anything you want to wrap up on? Anything on your mind?
No. Best of luck on Saturday. I'll be there, North End Zone, so if you see me there. Maybe point.
Yeah, let's step up.
Probably won't.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it. Yep, go to the game. I'm not going to be there, unfortunately. I got a wedding, but yeah. No, it's tough.
No, not Buddha wedding, but.
Will Black.
Huh?
You know Will Black? He was a.
He used to play here?
No, he was with equipment. You Will. Know him.
I do know Will. Yeah I know
Will. He's getting married Saturday. Real?
That's crazy. He didn't invite me.
Yeah, I know.
That's cool.
And I'm sitting there, I'm like, dude, you booked a reception on a boy's day game. He's like, I know. It's very out of pocket for him. We're giving him a hard time. But yeah, congrats, Will and Bailey. This has been episode 152. Much love, y'all. Make sure to like, subscribe, check out Latrell Caples. You social media guy?
I have it, yeah. Trell for six on all social medias, TRELLFOR, number six. So yeah.
Write that down, folks. There you have it. All right. We'll see you next week. Much love for episode 153. Don't know who the guest will be or if we'll even have a guest. We will be talking sports on your favorite podcast here. Peace and much love.
Not a game. We talking about practice.
Now it's time for the takeover.
Buckle up for Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant just sucked the gravity out of the target center.
Not the game. We talking about practice, man.
That's
time for the takeover.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. If you ain't first, you're last.